The Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now, here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I'm your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is an App Store optimization specialist, hustler, entrepreneur, idea machine, and a very, very good friend of mine. When I met today's guest, he had a team developing over 30 apps per month. But he will tell you that he is not an app developer. In fact, he couldn't care less about apps. He looks at an app and doesn't see a coding challenge or an opportunity for creativity. He simply sees a revenue stream. My guest has an uncanny ability to see business ideas unlike anyone I've ever known. He is a modern-day hustler that bounces from business to business and has become truly unemployable. Now, let's hack. Gabriel Maturet. What would happen to your business if the next book you read, course you take, or marketing strategy you learn about was executed on? All right, not just when you have time to get to it, but actually taken action on day after day. Okay, to be clear, I don't want you personally doing this work. What I'm urging you to do is to start thinking like the CEO of your business, no matter the size of your company at the moment. And as the CEO, I want you to think globally. Okay, let your mind carry you across the ocean. This is where you can hire a virtual assistant who is talented, honest, reliable, and capable of doing thought work for $300 to $800 a month for full-time work. Absolutely anything your business needs to grow can be outsourced. Programmers, graphic designers, social media experts, writers, SEO experts, you name it. You need help with your business, and there are people looking for work right now. Start browsing over 250,000 resumes, and if for nothing else, then to just see what's possible for your business. Go to onlinejobs.ph/hack. It's the world's largest and safest marketplace for finding rockstar workers. Once again, that's onlinejobs.ph/hack. Hack. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very, very special guest, Gabriel. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Johnny. How are you, man?
I'm doing awesome, dude. Thanks so much for joining me finally.
Thank you for having me, dude. Finally.
My pleasure. All right, Gabriel, let's jump into this. Gabriel.
Let's do it.
As an entrepreneur, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Man, I like the question. I was thinking about that. Mainly, I think what I do different is I embrace all my own inner stupidity. Okay, so literally, I am well aware about all my defects. And I think I sell myself as a whole brand with all the defects. And that actually works pretty well. It's pretty funny because I was the first non-successful entrepreneur to be interviewed by Andrew Warner in Mixergy. I actually pitched the interview to Andrew, telling him how useless I was. And thanks to Mixergy, I made $100,000 more in a year. And the approach was so unusual that, I mean, I became the first person to be featured in Mixergy as non-successful. So that was a long time ago. So yeah, I think it's the whole thing of embracing your own weaknesses to the max, you know? So yeah.
Really? But embracing your own inner stupidity. So, I think that that's false, lots of it. I think you're trying to maybe push that further than it's supposed to be. Do you think that that's like going to help build up your personal sort of brand if you can relate to people? Or because you're not a dumb dude at all. So I'm wondering what this is for. What is the point to this? And I can't imagine you went into business with this idea.
I think the point is that people are tired of the super mega successful entrepreneur that knows everything and wakes up at 4 in the morning and has yoga and does 27 push-ups and does the wonderful magic morning. And I mean, people want like normal people, you know, people want people that get drunk, that cry, that have disasters, that have breakups, that by embracing your own inner stupidity, what I'm trying to say is that I have done things that make no sense because I had no idea what I was doing. But my commitment to do those things was stronger than my previous knowledge or my skills. And people like that. I mean, you can relate to people when people are directly and honest with you. I don't know. I mean, I doubt that I will ever be able to be good mates or feel super inspired by Tim Ferriss, because Tim Ferriss is such an amazing entrepreneur that it's very difficult to relate to that kind of people. So when people relate to your own humanity and your own weaknesses, it's a bit different. And that helps a lot to connect with people.
Awesome. All right. So I've known you for almost 2 years, Gabriel. And at that point, you were already running your business, doing ASO Professional and making apps like faster than I thought anybody could make apps. But before that, at some point, there's this time, right, where every entrepreneur, they realize at some point in their life that they either have this calling to make this huge difference in the world, or they find that they simply cannot work for somebody else anymore. I want to know when you found out about this, and then which side of the fence you fall in that question.
It's kind of funny. I think in my case, I never got a real job. I mean, the first time that I asked permission to a boss, I was working for Hewlett Packard, and I asked permission to my boss to do something like have a longer lunch or something. And he said, no, you can't. So I collected money for all the office to go to the local coffee place and buy coffee and muffins. And I ran out with the money and never went back. I left the place and never went back. And I realized in that moment, I was never going to be able to work for a place that had some rules. So I don't think I had that calling that people have, that I want to change the world. I want to make a better place. I don't have that at all. I mean, I'm not going to save the whales, you know, or feed half of the world, or, you know, or build the next electric car. I actually like the independence of running my own business, and that no one tells me when I can go to a bathroom or when I can actually go to work. So that is what actually inspired me. And I guess when I really moved along was, when I had a family, I came to this country, to Australia, and I was a scuba diving instructor that was literally living 200 kilometers from the ocean. So I realized that I had to build something, before going kaput. So it was more of a need rather than a calling.
Okay, but then, and then after that need, then you've had definite, like every person in this game has had massive ups and massive downs. Has there ever been a point where you've thought about going to work for somebody else again?
That's pretty funny. I mean, my ups and downs have been massive, you know, like the worst roller coaster in the world. And it was one point where I realized that people could actually pay me online, and that every single person that was online had money at some stage, and they could actually hire me to do something, that I realized I was never going to go back to work for anyone else. Now, I mean, I never had a real job. I was a scuba diving instructor. So the kind of job that I was kind of like based on also like no reality, because when you work underwater, it's not like a real job. So I never went back to the idea of I'm going to go back to, to a real job, because in a real way, I'm not, no one can hire me because I'm absolutely useless in the real world. I don't know how any company could hire me. I don't even have a CV. I never finished university. You know, it's a miracle that I can drive in this side of the road in Australia. So, yeah, I mean, no one could hire me, you know?
Well,
so, yeah.
See, I don't think that's true. That's why I'm wondering it. I mean, nobody in a traditional, like a bank's not going to hire you because you'd steal all the money. But,
Colombian.
Well, you see opportunities and you grab them. That's just how it is, right? You took the coffee money and you never went back. It's what makes you what you are, and that's awesome. But I mean, in this world of startups now and with the value of ideas and stuff, I don't think I've ever met somebody who has ideas like you have. You're like, can come up with the most brilliant like business ideas like instantly, just like while you're like eating a hamburger and like Because, I mean, I've talked to you on Skype and you've been in your car like eating and still it's like ask you a question. It's like, oh my God. And then you're gone and you just like, then you reappear like 2 weeks later. But like the value of what you can do in your head could provide you with a solid, really good income by somebody else that would then take your ideas and run with them. And that's what I wonder if there's like, you must know the value of that.
I think every entrepreneur doubts, I mean, how valuable are their ideas? I mean, because at the end of the day, I mean, you need the famous part, you need the execution to develop those ideas.
Well, that's true, but not everybody actually has good ideas. So that actually, to me...
Usually people that have no good ideas don't recognize they're not good ideas.
No, exactly. I totally know that. And that's why people still say that like there's no value in ideas, it's all the execution. It's like, yes, but there is value in good ideas. And you have good ideas. And most people don't. So I talk to a lot of people, trust me. This is what I do. Right? And so I get that you doubt it, but do you doubt it enough? Like even if people kept telling you, would you still keep doubting it?
I doubt sometimes the ideas. And I mean, I never actually considered that I could be, useful for organizations, because sometimes my ideas are so unconventional that I believe they will only work if I develop them. Okay. And that is actually a problem. Okay. Because now that I'm a bit older, realize that, that maybe working for startups will give you some insights of meeting people like you, for example. I mean, if you could go to a startup where there's a CEO like you, my ideas could go further than normal. But to be honest, I guess the doubts is not so much in how valuable I could be for working for someone else or going back to the workplace or a startup. Is more about if I can actually implement those ideas. So maybe recognize the ideas are brilliant, but then you start thinking, can I actually pull this off? And that is the big challenge. And I still have those demons. I mean, daily, man.
Yeah, well, we all do. So at some point, do you think in your business, you will implement somebody or hire somebody who can take your crazy ideas and run with them?
I had tried, but based on my insane immaturity on South American fire and impatience, hasn't worked before. So at some stage, I may try to implement that. But you know how difficult that is. Let me clarify. I had teams of 10, 15 developers in India, and I had, great teams in the Philippines, virtual assistants. But to tackle someone that is more or less at your same level is very, very difficult, because usually those people are entrepreneurs. And once you have two entrepreneurs working on something, becomes very, very difficult.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's move into work, Gabriel. So work, not like in your head. The answer to this question, I don't want to be that you have doubts with your ideas, but every expert nowadays talks about 80-20. Yeah, I know you've heard this. Do 20%, get 80% of the results, do what you're good at, delegate the rest. Something, an actual task in your business, can you tell me something that you are not good at?
Actually, many of the things I'm not good at are things to do with the technical part of anything. So, I became, it was pretty funny because I became famous by Apple standards. I became the first guy to spam the App Store. So literally, that's brilliant to talk about.
I love it.
Okay, so 2 years ago, I mainly had a client. The client was telling me how he created one app and the app was making $100 per month and he wasn't happy. And my answer to him was, well, this is very simple. Just build 400 apps. And obviously he looked at me like I was, from outer space, and he said to me, that's not possible. And what I did is I implemented a system to be able to build 300 apps per month. With minimum cost. Now I have absolutely no knowledge, any technical knowledge at all. I bought my first Mac, the other day. I have never used Photoshop in my life. I was playing with Audacity yesterday for the first time, working on a podcast. So my technical knowledge is very, very basic. So I outsource everything that is technical to even to do a logo or to open a Photoshop file. I don't even have Photoshop. So literally those 400 apps were developed completely on the Philippines. We didn't do absolutely anything. And the most funny thing of that is I was so, useless with technology that I couldn't even test the apps because I couldn't even understand how to download a demo of an app. on an iPhone. The developers gave up, you know, after a month. They were like, sir, it's very easy. And I was like, don't worry. You know, it's not going to work. Just polish that stuff. So, yeah. Taking a screenshot, a screen capture in my computer is like a challenge. It's like, how do I do this again?
And, okay, so technologically, you are fairly inept. That's cool. And you still were the first person to spam the App Store. You were literally making, I don't know how many apps a day. It was ridiculous when I met you. And you don't know the technical side. So the obvious question is, how do you get into App Store how do you get into creating apps with no technical skills? But I don't really need the answer because I know that. You just hire people. But most people, Gabriel, they hire one developer in the Philippines. Like, I'm going to outsource this to a developer. I'm going to go on Odesk or Upwork, whatever it's called now, and I'm going to hire a developer to build me an app. It'll take him 2 months to build, and then I'll have an app. But you don't do that. You're like, I'm going to hire 10 developers right now, and we're going to like massively create like a machine to just build things. You don't do things on the regular sort of scale. I want to know, have you always been like this? Is this something like innate within you, or is this something I just need to go all in or nothing. That's just how you are.
I went with $10,000 to Egypt to become a scuba diving instructor. And the first question the guy asked me is, have you ever done a scuba diving? And I answered, no. I had never been underwater in my life. You know, I was like, I'm going to become a scuba diving instructor. Let's do it. You know, I was like, what do I need to do? And the guy was like, well, you need to know if you're going to learn to, if you like this stuff. And I was like, I would like it. Just let's get started. Yeah, man, I've always done it like that. I mean, the reason is, I mean, in the worst case scenario, you did it completely fine. You did all the way in, okay? I mean, something like apps, okay? The problem is, if it's going to take you 3 months to fail, I mean, you don't know if you're going to fail or not because you just launched one app. If you have launched maybe 5 apps, you have found success. Now, the difficulty and the success comes in building the machine. I mean, we were talking right now before the interview about podcasting, and I was saying that I believe that, I mean, people could podcast faster than has been done before. And we know someone like Johnny Dumas that is his a machine. I'm pretty sure that there's more effective way of doing it the way he's doing it, okay? So if I find attractive building something that technically or just by energy levels, people think is impossible. People think, oh, that's not possible. That's where I find it interesting, and that's where I find the challenge.
I love it. I love it. Okay, well, let's...
Well, I mean, just to think that someone like me, I mean, doesn't have the... I mean, I don't have the money to compete in an investment, okay? So, I mean, so the advantage that my mindset has is if people give up just based on the concept, then I have an advantage, okay? So, I mean, perfect example is I develop around 250 videos about App Store optimization in YouTube. I mean, it's the largest resource of SEO for the App Store in the world. It's one of my sites. Now, what people don't know is I develop all those videos in a week. So I went to a videographer and I said to the guy, we're going to record every 10 minutes one video and we don't stop. And if I make a mistake, you keep going. Because I had only money for 5 days. Normal people, and the last videos, you can see me and I start speaking Spanglish. I can't even talk anymore. You know, it's like Red Bull and coffee and I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, and that's true. And I forgot all about that. You went to Thailand or something, didn't you? And it was like, yeah, I'm going to do some videos. Like, wow, that's a long ways to go to do videos. Well, I'm doing like 80 videos, like really in like a couple days. I was like, man, you're insane. But you did it. You do it and you just get it done, right? And it's funny because I love how you say like, most people would fail, like build an app, but it took 5 apps to be successful, but they stop after one because they just fail too slowly. And it's interesting because Danny Eney, right? I mean, he's a mutual friend of ours. I was just talking to him last week and he said sort of the same thing. The best way to live in that whole Seth Godin's dip is to just half-ass it. He's like, you can't half-ass a project because then you end up giving up, but like halfway through. And it probably could have been successful if you just would have friggin' went all in and pushed it hard. And I honestly don't know anybody who goes more all in than you do. So That is the good thing.
Also, the public accountability is good. You know, I mean, that is a vital part of the equation. You know, I mean, the public accountability of saying, I'm going to be launching this. Like right now, I mean, one of my personal sites, mashre.com, I published the other week 99 goals for 99 weeks. And many of them were like my personal goals. I mean, like fear, like touch a snake, I'm terrified of snakes, you know. I mean, horse riding, I'm terrified of horses, okay? And there were personal goals, you know, like I want to learn to make a birthday cake. I can't bake. But by polishing that, you know, I mean, you go, okay, dude, here's what I need to do. Everyone has seen this post, all my family, my mom. I need to start doing this. So I guess that's the only way, I mean, to push yourself a little bit. Because if you want to write a book, any bastard can write a book. I mean, it's not like, oh my God, you wrote a book. This is the Amazon time. You know, you put something on an ebook and that's it. So that's not really a challenge. You know, the challenge has to be where the discomfort is. And that's why we admire so much someone like Tim Ferriss, you know, because, I mean, to think that Tim Ferriss became a sumo champion, you think, what? I mean, this guy is a sumo champion, a tango champion. He's white. I mean, I'm blonde. He's not even South American. That is the interesting part. It's how to hack the way of doing it.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So I love the idea, first of all, of putting out your fears and then overcoming them. It's something we have to do. It sounds even cheesy and cliche at times, but we do fail to just do simple things like bake a cake. Like, do you really want to like die like knowing that you never once like you were scared to bake a cake? It's insane, right? It's something so obvious that we should all be doing. So I do applaud you for doing that, Gabriel. But let's talk projects, because you've mentioned like a podcast, you've mentioned these videos, you've mentioned apps and how you go completely insanely all into them. But I want to know your thought process, Gabriel, of how, like, you're sitting there today and an idea comes across either your inbox or you're just like out walking with your kids and this crazy idea comes to you that of a cool business idea. And I want to know the thought process of you deciding that, yes, actually, this is something that I'm going to go all in. Not all in most people's way of doing it, like all in Gabriel style. How do you make that decision?
I'm mean by economical standards. So I mean ideas that the investment doesn't require a lot of money to put in, and it's more about energy and time. So that's the first standard. Okay. So I mean I'm never going to buy, I mean, a food stand. Okay. I mean, I'm never going to go and invest in a restaurant or something like that. I like the ideas where it can start with nothing, with $100. So that is the first requirement. And I'm looking at things where is the lifetime ROI. And I consider the ROI in two ways. Am I going to recover the money? And can this idea build some passive income? I mean, if it's a passive income, any kind of passive income, I mean, because the compound effect of multiple streams of passive income is what makes things way easier from a mental point of view for an entrepreneur. Okay. If you're an entrepreneur and you have kids, I mean, a family, and you don't have, I mean, income streams coming in, it doesn't matter how much you listen to this podcast or listen to Seth Godin, you're going to go in panic mode. So, I mean, anything that build, I mean, a constant income stream, I'm in. And the third point is, if me being involved as the brand or the guy that pushes with the insane energy can make the difference for this to work. Okay. So that will be the points to consider. And that's where I make a decision if it's in or not. And obviously I have to like the idea. I mean, amazes me people that are involved in solutions on softwares or things like that. And they don't even like anything to do with the idea. They're just doing it for, I mean, profit wise. I mean, that's not my style. Not yet. I'm too young.
Yeah, so
maybe in the future.
So I love, what is the lifetime ROI of this idea? How do you in any way at all determine what the lifetime ROI of an idea could be?
Well, I mean, the lifetime ROI of an idea is mainly, I mean, there's two types of ROI. I mean, one is, I mean, the return investment for my brand and for my name, okay? So, I mean, like the legacy of that Gary Vee talks about. I mean, if I build this course, okay, and I get 10,000 students, I mean, is this course going to improve my branding about, I mean, a trainer in app marketing or SEO? Yes, it's going to help. Okay, cool. So that's going to pay itself off. And the other one is, I mean, literally, I mean, how much money, how much can I bring from this in the long term? And if the idea doesn't work, can I recycle this project somehow to recover the investment in time? I believe that my hour rate is almost free, is $1. So I consider that any return for my time is worth it. If you consider how much time you spend listening to podcasts or watching YouTube videos or mucking around on people watching Lost or Narcos, okay? Well, why not I don't do that instead and spend the time, in this idea, 20, 40, 50, 60 hours. And if I understand that it's going to bring some money back in the long term, let's say a sponsorship of a show, or let's say, X amount of clients to a membership, that is passive income that makes it very easy to calculate that it's going to work in the long term.
Excellent. All right, Gabriel, this has been fun, man. I'm glad you finally decided to agree to join me.
Man, thank you, man. I like your questions. They're difficult.
All right, we're gonna end with this thing I'm calling the entrepreneurial gap. And so we've talked about your ups and your downs. They've been many, and they've been very, very large in some of them.
With tequila, all of them.
Exactly. But as entrepreneurs, right, as dreamers, we're always looking to the future, right? Always like 3 months, 6 months, a year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. We're setting these little goals for ourselves, right? You mentioned writing a book, or you mentioned making this certain amount of money from a project. It's always in the future, and I'll be successful in 6 months when I get to do that. When my business does that, I will be successful. But before we even get to that point, we set 5 or 10 bigger, loftier ones even further into the future. And we never quite get to the point where we're just like, here it is. We're successful as entrepreneurs. That's okay. We need to set goals. We need to push forward. But sometimes I think we fail to stop and like look behind us. All the stuff we've been through, the ups, the downs, what we've learned, what we've done, what we've accomplished, and the people we've got to, I guess, meet and deal with throughout. So Gabriel, if you could right now stop, turn around, look at everything you've come through, everything you've done, everything you've accomplished. And as an entrepreneur, can you tell me how you feel about it up till today?
Man, I love that question, dude. It's pretty interesting because we have talked a little bit in the past about the concept of happiness, and how entrepreneurs, the more that we do, the less happy we are. And you sent me a comment, a few weeks ago. I'm going to be completely honest here, and I'm going to go completely naked. I suffer of depression, on January. And you know that because, I actually told you on Facebook. And then a few months later, you sent me a message and you said to me, hey, I've never seen you so happy on Facebook. You look great. And I replied to you, said, I have never worked less, okay, before. And I've never made less money than I'm making right now. And I've never been happier. So one of the things that I'm starting to realize, right now from the past is that, funny-wise, the best moments of my entrepreneurial career were moments that were driven by passion and cool moments and engagement with people and relationships versus the concept of profits and building and achieving more money or making passive income or all those building and selling companies and startup mentality. So what I've learned so far of entrepreneurial is that if you remove the ego part of the equation, this is an awesome ride. Okay. If you learn to be happy with what you have at the moment and the easy things, is simply the best thing you can do. Last year, I had a midlife crisis before I met you, and I went to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. And I used all my contacts in the app industry to buy cows, to buy in Tanzania these cows. Never been as happy in my life. I was going through a divorce. Toughest moment in my life, but I went to Tanzania to buy cows for an orphanage. Dude, I was happy, as never before. I don't know how much sponsorship of a show or income can replace that happiness. It would be impossible for any business to replace the level of happiness that I achieved in the middle of Africa buying horrible cows for an orphanage. So I think my lesson once again is if you remove the pressure of what entrepreneur is and what people believe entrepreneur is and what the definition of a startup is and the whole plan B and seed capital and what success is for this community of, TechCrunch and startup, blogs. and you just ask yourself what makes you happy, that is the secret, you know. So in my case right now, I've never been as happy as I am right now, man. Like talking to you, for example.
I love it, man. I love it. Beautiful answer. All right.
Dude, and you have been, I mean, a great source of inspiration. I mean, you are a guy that has been always, I mean, on my toes and literally super grounded. And actually, I mean, maybe you don't talk too much about yourself. I mean, and when I met you, I mean, it was mind blowing because you were one of the nicest and most human beings I ever met, man. And I think that's why this show is a success, because you are so freaking normal. I was going to say the F word, but anyway, you're so freaking normal that it's actually refreshing, you know? And that's one of the great things of someone like you. I mean, there's someone that you want to have a beer with, okay? Versus, I mean, all the images that we have of entrepreneurs and successful people that deep inside, you don't want to have a beer with them, you know? So maybe people listen to here is become the person that you want to invite for a beer. Okay? Not the guy that you want to hear in TED talking about business and then he is Rain Man. Okay, so be the one that you want to invite for a beer.
I love it. All right, Gabriel, this has been fun. We've talked about your business in passing. Could you specifically tell the listener where to find out more about Gabriel Metret?
Yeah, I actually work with the app industry, and you can actually find more information about me at ASO Professional. It's asoprofessional.com. You have all my videos and all my books and all my courses. If you want to learn more about app marketing, more than happy to help you.
Awesome. Track this guy down. He knows what he's talking about. ASOprofessional.com, Mixer G, I think you mentioned, and Maturette.com. I'm going to try and find your interview on Mixer G.
We'll yeah, man. I was young and beautiful.
Awesome. All right, Gabriel. Thanks so much, man. This has been a blast.
Thanks, man.
For as little as $350 a month, you can find virtual workers in the Philippines to take on even the most challenging tasks in your business. You will not get this kind of value anywhere else. From WordPress experts, virtual assistants, and writers, they're all waiting to join your team and scale your business. Go to onlinejobs.ph/hack. It's the world's largest and safest marketplace for finding rockstar Filipino workers. Once again, that's onlinejobs.ph/hack. Gabriel, thank you so much for joining me finally on this show. I don't know if we mentioned it during the conversation. I'm trying to remember now, but Gabriel is the one who actually named Hack the Entrepreneur. He came up with that name. I was on a walk with him talking on Skype on my phone, and he was in Australia, I believe, and I was here in Canada, and we were having this conversation. He came up with Hack the Entrepreneur. He's like, I just looked it up and the URL's available. And so it goes. 18 months later, so here we are. And Gabriel's finally on the show. So I hope you enjoyed Gabriel as much as I do. He's a smart, smart, smart guy that is so not afraid to take chances, take risks. And I love that about him. And he literally is an idea machine. And I steal that term, obviously, from James Altucher. But this guy can come up with ideas faster than anybody I've known. And he's a great person to have around. And Maturette.com and ASOprofessional.com are ways you can reach out to Gabriel. Super, super. The guy's just like, he's so open to talking to everybody that will reach out to him. He'd love to help. So I'm putting that offer that if you need to get there and go to one of his sites, reach out to him via email or the contact form. And yeah, if you have any questions, this guy can definitely set you on the right path. So it was an exciting conversation. It was a fun conversation. It was a conversation that I really, really am glad that I got to share with Gabriel and then share with you. And as always, I have a page full of notes after talking to Gabriel. This happens every time I talk to him. And this is why I just enjoy talking to him so much. But as I'm going through these notes, there were some things that I had highlighted and some things that I really wanted to sort of look into more. And so I went back through the conversation, and there was this one thing that Gabriel said that just really, really, really stuck out to me. This one thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
I went with $10,000 to Egypt to become a scuba diving instructor. And the first question the guy asked me is, have you ever done a scuba diving? And I answered, no. I had never been underwater in my life. You know, I was like, I'm going to become a scuba diving instructor. Let's do it. You know, I was like, what do I need to do? And the guy was like, well, you need to know if you're going to learn to, if you like this stuff. And I was like, no, I will like it. Just let's get started.
And that's the hack. Gabriel. Of course, that's what you would do. You would go to Egypt with $10,000 and want to become a scuba diving instructor, even though you'd never been underwater before. So that sounds a bit crazy on the surface. On the surface, it is. On the surface, even digging a little bit deep into the surface, Gabriel is crazy. Completely insane. Love the guy to death, but Gabriel, you're a bit insane. And that's what makes you awesome. But this idea and this attitude of, I want to say fearlessness, but I know that he's scared, totally scared to do stuff like this, but he does it anyways. And he pushes himself to do these things. This is why I call him like a modern day hustler and completely unemployable. And I don't know what he'll be doing in 6 months or in a year with different businesses and stuff, but he will never be out of money. He'll never be out of options for things he can do and projects and people he can work with because of this idea that even though he has never done this before, never even been underwater, besides like in a swimming pool, he is going to learn to scuba dive. That's just what he's going to do. Like, of course, that's what I'm going to do. This is also the guy who's climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, just like nothing. And just like, yeah, of course. Well, I've never climbed really a mountain before, but I'm going to climb one of the largest ones in the world. I don't know which one's the largest in the world, but it's a massive mountain that people die doing. It happens all the time. But of course, Gabriel just goes and does it. And I love this because I just wrote about this on my weekly newsletter to my email list. And this was the idea of pretend you're good at it. If you can have this idea, like to think that I was good at podcasting or interviewing anyone like 16 months ago, 18 months ago when I started, I'd never done it in my life. Never. I sucked. I was terrified. But I pretended that I was good at it. It's how everything works. You see somebody on stage and they look like they're so comfortable up there. And then you talk to them. And they're like, no, I freak out completely before. It's so terrifying to get up on stage, but I pretend that I'm good at it. This is how we step up. This is how we sort of like level up our lives into doing the things that we wish we could do. Those things we wish we could do, we absolutely can do. And the way to do it is to pretend that you're good at it. And Gabriel absolutely has this mastered, or at least it looks like it on the outside. At least he pretends to me that he's really good at pretending that he's really good. But this is very, very key. And this, just don't look at this as like, well, obviously I don't want to scuba dive. I don't want to scuba dive either. And that's just beyond the point. It's not that I don't want to scuba dive because I don't think I can. I know that I could. I could do anything if I wanted to do it. And most things that I do on a daily basis, I've never done before. But I've learned to just step up and do them. Because if you do them enough times, pretending that you're good, you will get good. And all of a sudden, you're just like, one day, it's like, whoa, I'm not pretending anymore. I actually am good at this. I actually know how to interview people now. I actually know how to podcast. I actually know how to build a software business. And I actually know how to travel the world with my family. That's amazing. All things are completely made up. Until all of a sudden, I guess I realized I knew what I was doing. Gabriel, thank you so much. You always cause me to rant a whole lot, and I absolutely appreciate you for it. All right, that was fun. I hope you enjoyed that nearly as much as I did, because Gabriel is just a smart, smart dude. Maturette.com is the site. Go check him out. It's probably Gabriel at Maturette.com. I don't know if he's even set that up, but I'm sure there's a way you could find his email address or a contact form on there. Reach out to him or find him on Twitter. Tell him you heard him on the show, and I'm sure he would love to hear from you. So that's it. This has been a lot of fun. HackTheEntrepreneur.com is the website. As always, go there. Drop your name in that email inbox. I tell you this every day and you just don't listen. Just kidding. Thousands of you have listened and I love you for it. I love you if you're just listening, by all means, keep listening. You don't have to put your email, but I'm writing a book. Gabriel says it's really easy. I've never done it before. I'm pretending I know what I'm doing. I'm pretending I'm good at it. And I think it's actually going to be a really awesome book. It's actually kind of impressing me. I'm really pretending that I'm good at it, and it's shocking that it's turning out so well. It's at the editors, and it's coming back, parts of it, and it's awesome. December 14th, I believe, the book is coming out. But there's always special stuff for you. If you're on that email list, you get special access to a whole bunch of stuff that I'm going to be coming up with, and I'd love for you to have that. It's free. I'm not going to spam you. You can unsubscribe at any time. You can also hit reply at any time to any email, and it comes straight, actually doesn't come straight to my phone anymore. I took emails off my phone because I think when I get away from my laptop, sometimes now I need to actually get away from stuff. It's so I'm leaving my email on my laptop and I'm taking it off my phone just to kind of give myself some breathing space from it. But I will absolutely, when I get back to my desk or to the coffee shop or wherever I happen to be working, I will respond to your emails. That's how you get access to me, if that's what you want. I would think you would want it. Why not? It'll be fun. All right, I've talked enough. I thank you so much again, and please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.